A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources
with Boyd Matheson.
Utah's been a trailblazer in many ways throughout history, including when it comes to women's rights and the women's vote. This Wednesday marks the 125th anniversary of women's first election to public office on November 3rd, 1896. 14 women were elected in Utah, including, of course, Dr. Martha Hughes Cannon, the nation's first female state senator. Here to talk about the historic day and how we can increase women's political engagement is Dr. Susan Madsen. She's the founder and director of the Utah Women and Leadership Project and the inaugural Karen Haight Huntsman Endowed Professor of Leadership at Utah State University. Susan, thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be here.
This is a great anniversary, of course, coming up, and we will look back for a moment, but we're also going to cause you to look ahead because we want to talk about what's coming up next and how we continue to build on that great legacy. So as you look back to 1896, that was an important day, but where have we gone since then?
Well, it's important to really do look back on history, and I know Better Days 2020 has done a great job because we had many anniversaries in 2020 that celebrated suffrage and the right to vote and those things. And so I love these anniversaries, especially I love hearing about Martha Hughes Cannon. But as we look ahead, so we have such an amazing history of women, really women's rights in those years in the 1800s and early 1900s. But we know that generally around the United States, things really decreased in terms of women's voice and women's involvement in politics in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and some states really started coming back in the 70s and 80s. And in Utah, we really we've seen an interesting history. And we've actually bluntly really struggled in many ways in more recent decades with even keeping up with other states in terms of even voting in some ways, let alone women for running for office.
Yeah, and it's such a vital message that we need to have everyone. Everyone needs a seat at the table and a voice, and that voice needs to be heard. And it really is that extension of not just having women, as one example, at the table to talk about women's issue, but to talk about all the issues, just the same way we would want someone from the Hispanic community to be at the table with a voice, not just to discuss Hispanic issues, but all the issues. And that is part of what really has to change and has to continue to improve as we move forward.
And you know, you bring up such an important point. And one of the keys is that it really isn't just, quote, the right thing to do to have our, you know, communities and what gender and race represented. The research is absolutely clear that it changes things when you have women at the table. Mm-hmm. It just changes things. Yeah. And that means that women, this may be a shock to you, but women and men are different in many ways. and one thing is our experiences. Yeah. And when women are not at the table, certain issues and topics that are really central to the state of Utah are not represented, are not discussed. In fact, the research is clear that in Utah, in fact, the Utah Foundation reported recently that women, really, their top couple of issues continue to be, one, priority issues, mm-hmm. K-12 education, two, health care. And generally, the national research continues to tell us that states with more women in their legislative bodies absolutely allot funding differently and put more towards education, healthcare, and the third main is really social issues like poverty and support systems for people who have been sexually assaulted and domestic violence and those things. States with less women actually just give funding less to those things that are really important to so many Utahns and so many people.
Yeah, so, so important. And as a guy with seven sisters, a mother, a wife, three daughters, yeah, and now two granddaughters, I do know there are differences. And those differences are important. They do impact all of that in such a significant way. I had one leader in my life who shared something with me that was just so spot on. She said, and she's led organizations around the world, said, you know, the worst decisions are always made when either the room is just filled with men or just filled with women. I said, if you don't recognize the differences and value those differences, like you were saying, then we really miss it. And Professor, I want to get to one thing that I've been dying to ask you as you look at your work as it relates to women in leadership. We're going to do an interview later on today with a book focused on the life of Cokie Roberts, who, of course, was a great trailblazer, a great pioneer in journalism. As a female, she broke through a lot of glass ceilings along the way. But one of the things that most people don't recognize about Cokie Roberts was she not only, you know, blazed the trail, she also left a trail. She was so involved in mentoring and coaching and helping those coming behind. And so I wanted to get your perspective from your research and all that you've done with Utah Women in Leadership Project, that role of mentorship, of women mentoring women and men mentoring women, that's part of what we have to have if we're going to really continue this dialogue and keep this moving forward.
Absolutely. You bring up such an important point. And I love that you said men or women mentoring women and men also, because both of those are important. However, we do know that women mentors and what are called sponsors are just critical, because girls and young women and women, if they don't see, you can't be what you can't see, right?
Yeah.
You don't see that. And women, we struggle with different things a little bit in terms of work life and family and those kinds of things. So if you don't see a woman actually doing that and women that are not helping other women, then you really don't progress. But what we do know is, and I will tell you, because I know most of the legislators and many of the politicians that are female in the state, almost all, not all though, but almost all are just women who lift other women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just a couple of exceptions, and I won't tell you who, but there's a couple of exceptions.
There's always exceptions, yeah.
However, what I love is I think we're moving in a direction that women understand how important this is to really not just trailblaze themselves, but lift and provide opportunities for other women and be examples to even young girls, let alone, you know, older elementary school or junior high or high school or college. And then I love that you brought up men, because male allies, and by the way, what's important to know is you can't, as a man, say you're a male ally. That's something that's gifted to you by women. Sometimes men say that, and it's like, oh, they don't get it.
You don't
it.
Get to say it. Yeah. our rule is if you have to declare it, you're not it. So, yeah.
You're not.
Just
that's
wait.
Exactly right. But I have seen, even in the last 2 years, a shift to where it's not either or. It's not like the zero-sum mentality where men think, well, wait, if I lift women, then it's going to take from me. That scarcity mentality.
Yeah.
I think you still see that out there, but there's more and more men that don't have to go there, you know?
Yeah.
We, as people, can lift other people, and it doesn't need to take from us. So I'm seeing those trends more and more. Men of color, but white men too, and we have a lot of white men in power in the state of Utah who just say, you know what, this is important to really have everyone in the state represented so that we can do the best things for Utah residents.
Yeah, fantastic. Susan Madsen, she's the founder and director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project and the inaugural Karen Haight Huntsman Endowed Professor of Leadership at Utah State University. As we look at this very important celebration, looking back to November 1896, a great election, Dr. Martha Hughes Cannon, of course, becoming the nation's first female state senator. But it's not enough to look back and celebrate. We have to emulate, and we have to keep it moving forward. Susan Madsen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. We're going to step aside for bottom of the hour news. President Joe Biden is giving a press conference before he leaves Glasgow, Scotland, wrapping up his participation in the climate summit. We'll break down what that is, what that means, what's playing out with Senator Joe Manchin, what's happening in Virginia. Much more to come on Inside Sources right here on KSL News Radio. Stay with us.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.